All right, Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com. It's, boy, what is it, the 19th of June, 2023? They have a new federal holiday for today, but I don't know. I guess it's nice not to have to go to work, so I can't complain about that. Imagine that you were given a book, a tactical and strategic guide to defeating the devil in this world and identifying the enemy forces, and you just ignored it. You just say, you know what, we don't believe in that book anymore. We don't like that book. Imagine if the commander-in-chief, imagine if Rebel Leader One gave you a book and said, hey, this is the book. This is the how-to manual. This is the instruction manual for not only your lives, but for your communities and your nations, your ethnos, your nations, those the brethren that you have, that to which you were bonded by blood, tradition, language, history, culture, and geography. And imagine if the leaders of the people that you identify with, say you're a Christian, and the pastors said, yeah, well, this is a nice book, but, you know, this is a little overreaching, and we can't accept everything that's in this book today because it offends certain powerful groups, and so we don't want to talk about that. And we're going to limit what we will interpret this book to mean because, after all, this is our religion, and so we want a nice religion. So when it talks about things that get beyond the scope of religion, we don't want anything to do with that. And we're going to say, no, that's Old Testament. You know, that was then, this is now, and things have changed. And no, you're not supposed to build an ethnically based nation state that serves Jesus Christ. No. Imagine in this book it said, here's your tactics, here's your techniques, here's your procedures. Here's the enemy. Here's the TTPs of your enemy, the tactics, the techniques, and the procedures of your enemy. But he said, no, we're not fighting a war. We don't want to fight a war. War is hard to do. It's risky. We actually want to have peace with the enemy. We want to have peace with the enemy. We want to get along with the enemy. We want to love the enemy because Jesus is about love, and we want to love our enemies. So we're not going to fight our enemies. We're not going to identify our enemies. We're not going to oppose our enemies. We're not going to insult our enemies. We're not going to challenge the rules that our enemy has. We're just going to give the enemy whatever the enemy wants to give us, as long as they let us beat our drums on a Sunday morning, talk about Jesus, eternal life, forgiveness of sins. Other than that, we're not interested in an instruction manual for bringing discipline to the nations on the earth. Not interested in it. In fact, we dispute that. We dispute that Jesus Christ called us to bring discipline to the nations. He wants us to have little discipleship groups so that you can improve your morality, teach you some scriptures, teach you how to pray. But this whole thing about building Christian nations, no, we utterly reject that. And we reject the idea that there's really a physical enemy that the Bible describes. We don't agree with that. And we want to get along with the world. The world's been nice to us. We've been nice to the world. We got this peaceful thing going on. There's peace. You know, we finally have achieved intercultural, interracial, interreligious, interfaith dialogue founded upon the concepts of democracy and mutual tolerance and human rights. And yet the book, the guidebook from the master says, hey, this is the enemy. This is our king. This is the savior. These are the rules. These are the enemy's forces. These are the forces that the enemy has marshaled against my kingdom, essentially, says Jesus Christ. The enemy of my kingdom is, you know who, it's the devil. And he has his forces, he has his people. And in the Holy Scriptures, we're going to give you example after example, example of who these enemies are and how they work. And imagine if you're on, purportedly, on the side of Jesus Christ, being a member of a church, being calling yourself a Christian, being a member of the church at large. And you say, no, we don't like that. We don't like your rules. We don't like your tactics. We don't like your techniques. We don't like your procedures. We do not like your definition of the enemy. We don't like you naming the enemy. And in fact, we don't think you offer a very good representation of Christianity, Jesus Christ. We think you're anti-Semitic and racist and a bit totalitarian, and you're not diverse, you're not tolerant. You're not looking out for the best interests of mankind based on a diverse and tolerant universal democracy under the rule of law. And I think if you put it in that terms, I would say that is a fairly good definition of where the evangelical church is in 2023. Thank you, Jesus, but no thanks. In fact, we're just, you know, the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible doesn't say that. You know, I know that's what it says, but it doesn't really mean that, because to go down that road would mean you're anti-Semitic, and that's the highest moral goal that we can have in life, is never to be anti-Semitic. So much so that even the United States government has set up government agencies to counter to counter anti-Semitism. When arguably, factually, statistically, you can say these people who call themselves Semites, and they're not, who call themselves Jews, and they're not, have vastly more power per person than any other ethnic group or religious group in the United States, measured by positions of power, money, control of industry, control of the banking system, control of the number of seats of Congress, control of the number of seats on the Supreme Court, in comparison to the actual size of their minority population. But the biggest insult is the church doesn't want to hear what Jesus Christ has to say about that. And if you go to the book of Acts, I remember, you know, over the decades in my years in active in Christian churches, and they said, well, we're a New Testament church. We're a New Testament church. We want to be a church like the book of Acts. We want the book of Acts to come alive for our church, with the miracles and the healing and the casting out of demons and the raisings from the dead and the gospel spreading from city to city. And yet I don't know, in fact, I do know that I personally have not heard a sermon identifying the enemies of the Church of Jesus Christ out of the book of Acts. I don't think I ever have in my decades on this beautiful earth that God has created. And when you look at the book of Acts and you have over 80 mentions of the term Jew or Jews, at some point, a scholar of the Bible, a pastor, a preacher has to say, look, there's 80 references to Jews in the book of Acts alone. Shouldn't we pay attention to this? Oh, no, you can't pay attention to that. You can't notice the Jews. That's anti-Semitic. Oh, okay, so if the Holy Scriptures in one book talks about Jews over 80 times in the book of Acts alone, you're telling me your man-made tradition is telling us to ignore what the Holy Scriptures say? And where did you get these man-made traditions from? Because the Holy Scriptures don't tell you to ignore the Holy Scriptures. The Holy Scriptures do not tell you to ignore the Holy Scriptures. The book of Acts does not tell you to ignore the book of Acts. If you were supposed to ignore the book of Acts, there wouldn't be a book of Acts. And many evangelical, Pentecostal, charismatic churches, traditions, congregations will go through the book of Acts and see here on the day of Pentecost, they all spoke in tongues. And they will tell you all about speaking in tongues. See right here, the man got healed. See here, they got baptized. See here, they're baptized in the Holy Spirit even before they were water baptized. See here, Paul went from city to city preaching the gospel. And they'll talk about all this stuff in the book of Acts. Wonderful stuff, marvelous stuff, fantastic stuff. Oh, the day of Pentecost has finally come. Was it Penta 5, 50 days after the resurrection? And the Holy Spirit's poured out, and they were speaking in tongues, and you know, when the people thought they were drunk, and no, oh, God gave them different tongues to speak, and we heard language. And we'll go on and on and on and on about that. Rightly so, rightly so. And yet we will not talk about the enemy of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the book of Acts. We won't talk about them. And the book of Acts talks about the enemy as being the Jews. And it talks about their tactics, techniques, and procedures. But we won't talk about that. Oh, no, that's not the Jews. Those were just the Pharisees from 2,000 years ago. But it says Jews. It says Jew. It says J-E-W, Jew. Well, they're different Jews than the Jews today. Okay, how so? And we go down this rabbit hole. We go down this conversation where the pastors and the preachers do everything they can to ignore what the Holy Scripture says about Jews. Won't talk about it. Now, I would argue that the Holy Scriptures are eternal. I would argue that the book of Acts is eternal. I would argue that the book of Acts is as fact and truth exists before any group of people that would even call themselves Jews. And if a group of people comes along and says, well, hey, I'm a Jew, we're Jews, well, you know what? Put that in the context of the book of Acts, not vice versa. The book of Acts is eternal. It's been around forever. It's going to be around forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will not pass away. So when you have a group of people coming along that 2 centuries ago did not call themselves Jews, they did not call themselves Jews 200 years ago. They did not call themselves Jews. All the European Jews didn't call themselves Jews. For 2,000 years, up until, I don't know, 200, 250 years ago, they didn't call themselves Jews. And in fact, their ancestors were converts, not to Judaism. They're converts to the Talmud. Or Judaism is the same thing. And Judaism does not worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Does not. Jesus Christ made that very clear. They don't believe in the books of Moses. Jesus Christ made that very clear. He said, hey, if you would have believed in Moses, you would have believed in me. And it's not me that will accuse you on the judgment day. It's Moses himself that will accuse you on the judgment day. And so about 800, 7-800, a group of people called the Khazars, they're from southern Russia. Makes you wonder why we have a war in southern Russia right now, Ukraine, that region. They converted to the Talmud. And then from there, they spread out all over Europe. The northern Ashkenazi Jews, and you had the southern branch, the Sephardic Jews that moved into Iberia. And there was other Jews there that were there before. I'm not saying none of them came out of the Middle East. But by and large, that's why the Ashkenazi Jews they reside in the territory of Ashkenaz, who was the son of Japheth. Has nothing to do with the Semitic people. But imagine that the Holy Scripture says, hey, these are the enemies, these are the Jews, and here's their TTPs. First, they're going to make friends with the people in power, and they're going to accuse you before the people in power. They're going to go up to the people in power, such as Pontius Pilate, and they're going to accuse you before the people that are in power. In Pontius Pilate's case, they blackmailed Pontius Pilate into murdering Jesus Christ and giving the Jews permission to go ahead and murder Jesus Christ. If you let Jesus go, you're no friend of Caesar's. He claims to be a king, a rival to Caesar, and if you let this guy go, obviously you're siding against Caesar. It's a very clear threat there in the Holy Scriptures. And then you go on, you learn about Festus. And these guys, look, they go to Festus and say, well, you know, Paul, they're bad, they're evil people. These Christians are evil people. And they go from city to city and they persecute and they pursue the Christian church. And they stir up the mob. Okay, Antifa goes back 2,000 years. Antifa's 2,000 years old. Okay, the Jews stirred up the mob towards the Christians. Antifa is 2,000 years old. It didn't just go back to the 1920s and 1930s in Europe. Okay, it goes back to, you got the Jews financing and stirring up the mob against the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you have the Jews stirring up the prominent men and the wealthy people. They go to the wealthy people and said, hey, you need to oppose these Christians. You need to oppose them. And so you have the open hand and you have the closed hand. You have the apparent hand and you have the hidden hand. Antifa comes along 2,000 years ago. The mob is stirred up. Oh, I guess the Christians are making everybody mad. No. The Jews stirred up the worthless men of the city. According to the Holy Scriptures, charismatic Pentecostal pastor, Well, the major businesses, they're all for the woke agenda, and they're against, you know, this idea of heterosexual marriage and two genders. Who's the hidden hand behind that? It's not hard to look. 2,000 years ago, they went to the prosperous men and women, the men of prominence, the women of prominence, the wealthy people, and stir them up against the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for the evangelical charismatic Pentecostal church that believes that the book of Acts remains today a guide to being baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, I would suggest to you that there's a lot more talk about Jews in the book of Acts than there is speaking in tongues. In fact, there is. That's a fact. And I've done the parsing on speaking tongues. I've taught this stuff. I get it. I'm all for it. And you can parse it and you can say this, you can say that, and they're foreign people and they heard them in their own language, but clearly these were people that were Galileans. And obviously the tongues didn't natively speak French or Swedish or Russian or Chinese. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. And all the charismatics and the Pentecostals will say, yep, this remains true today. Absolutely remains true today. And I agree with them. But they won't say that the book of Acts remains true today for a subject that is vastly more heavily covered than speaking in tongues, which is the Jews. Oh, the book of Acts is correct for today for speaking in tongues, but not about Jews, which it mentions over 80 times in the book of Acts. And it gives the tactics, techniques, and procedures of the Jews, the enemies of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Same enemy today as it was 2,000 years ago. You want a New Testament church that looks like the church in the book of Acts. New Testament church is the book of Acts. How many times have you heard it said, oh, the book of Acts is still being written today? But you won't read or write or talk about the Jews and their TTPs. They have an utter hatred of our King, utter irreconcilable hatred of our King Jesus Christ. They will murder you directly. They will slander you directly. They will lie about you directly. And when it's useful, they will blackmail political leaders against you. They will stir up the wealthy business people against you. They will hire out the rabble against you. They will stir up the worthless men against you, church, and pretend it's not them. Pretend, oh, it's the people against their oppressive morality. And you're going, well, who stirred up the rabble? Well, the book of Acts tells you who stirs up the rabble. It's the Jews. Who stirred up the prominent business people? The book of Acts tells you it's the Jews. Who stirred up the politicians against the Christian church? The book of Acts tells you it's the Jews. Oh, well, you can't say that. That's anti-Semitic. Okay, the Holy Scriptures is anti-Semitic then. If the Holy Scriptures are anti-Semitic, you need to be anti-Semitic, evangelical, charismatic, Pentecostal. It identifies the enemy, and it gives you their TTPs, exactly how they work in the book of Acts. And you could sit there, you can give a 15-week seminar on speaking in tongues and why it's valid for today. And the book of Acts vastly talks more about the Jews than it ever did about speaking in tongues and being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, at this point, you need to have your jaw dropping and saying, Fritz has got a point. Man's got a point. Imagine if Jesus Christ laid out who the enemy is and told you how they operated. And they're the synagogue of Satan, according to Jesus Christ. They're the children of the devil, according to the master, Jesus Christ. This is not some arcane scripture hidden away in, 14th book of Barnabas. There's a gospel according to St. Barnabas, but it's not in the Bible. It's in the red. It's what Jesus Christ said. John 8:44, Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9. Paul says the same thing, and he ought to know. Paul was a Jew himself. And he ought to know. He ought to know. And he knew. He knew. He was a murderer of Christians. Saul was a murderer of Christians. He says, listen, I instigated the persecution against the church, and I voted to put the Christians to death. And he goes on to say in the first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, he says, the Jews, they murdered the prophets, man. They drove us out. They murdered Jesus Christ, and they're the enemies of all mankind. Says a Jew that woke up and repented, and he immediately went out and declared that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. John himself, he said, listen, y'all want to know who the Antichrist? I'll tell you who it is. It's those people that deny the Father and the Son. It's those people that deny that the Messiah has already come in the flesh. Now, you go out and you listen to these Jewish apologists, and they say, oh, well, we're still waiting for the Messiah. Well, then you're Antichrist. That's the definition. 2 John verse 7. If you deny that the Christ has already come in the flesh, you are the Antichrist. You are Antichrist. You're the spirit of the Antichrist. You're the corporate Antichrist. I'm telling you. The charismatics and evangelicals go around talking about how the book of Acts teaches that the gift of speaking in tongues and be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit is different than being born again, and it's for today. Yet they won't touch the JEW. Won't touch it. So we have a problem in the church. This is the church's problem. It's not the problem with the Jews. It's the problem with the church. This isn't about what the synagogue of Satan does. It's about what the Church of Jesus Christ does or doesn't do. That's what it's about. I don't care what Satan does. I care about what I do. I care about my people, my church. I care about the Church of Jesus Christ. I care about what they do. And if they side with the enemy, I refer you to 2 John chapter 11. If you raise your hand to greet them, you put forth your hand to do evil. Evangelical, charismatic, Pentecostal, taking your trips to Israel every year, being led around by the nose, being evangelized by the synagogue of Satan, having them teach you that they're God's chosen people and they're not God's chosen people. They're usurpers. They're identity thieves. Oh, Fritz, you can't say that. Oh, I'm just saying what Jesus Christ said. They're not Jews, Jesus Christ said. They're liars, Jesus Christ said. They're of Satan's synagogue, Jesus Christ said. And yet somehow in our evangelical Protestant world, we found a way to ignore most of the book of Acts and a way to ignore explicitly what Jesus Christ said in the red regarding our enemy and their TTPs. And you've got a lot of well-meaning Christians out there. They're running around. We're trying to solve the world's problems. Well, you know, Biden's this, and the Democrats are that, and the communists are this, and the trannies are that. You ever seen The Wizard of Oz? It's been a few decades since I have. But y'all have this splash and boom and bang and, oh, my God, the Oz. And finally somebody pulls back the curtain. There's this little guy back there. And the church refuses to pull back the curtain, refuses to. I blame the church. I blame the Protestant church on this. Now, it hasn't always been that case. Martin Luther, he certainly wrote about the Jews. John Chrysostom wrote about the Jews, preached about the Jews. Paul preached about the Jews. The book of Acts preached about the Jews. Jesus Christ preached about the Jews. John preaches about the Jews. But we don't like that portion of the Holy Scripture, so we've abandoned it. We've ignored it. And we've done exactly what the Jews have said, which is we have to convince the Christians to either abolish those Scriptures outright or, at the very least, cause them to ignore those Scriptures and reinterpret them to something else because they're explicitly, in their words, anti-Semitic. The Holy Scriptures, the New Testament, is irretrievably, foundationally, organically anti-Semitic, according to the Jews. And I agree with them. I mean, I've given you the scriptures. But the church doesn't want to hear what Jesus Christ has to say about the enemy, the enemy's synagogue, the enemy's children, the enemy's forces and their tactics, techniques, and procedures. So how can we as a Christian church go out there and preach, you know, 29 sermons on why speaking in tongues is valid for today when the same book of Acts talks way more about the Jews than it does about speaking in tongues? This is a problem. This is a problem within the church. It's a problem within the Christian church. How is it going to get solved? Brave men have to stand up. And when they stand up, it's so simple. It's so simple. And it breaks my heart because it's so simple. If you stand up and say what Jesus Christ said, if you stand up and say what the book of Acts said, if you stand up and say what the gospel said, if you stand up and say what Jesus said in Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9, the enemy will be very upset with you. The synagogue of Satan will be very upset with you because they've made a rule saying you can't talk about us unless you grovel before us and call us the chosen people of God and call us an oppressed minority and give us everything we want. That's the rule they've made for this society. It's not based in the Bible. It's not based in the Holy Scriptures. It's contrary to the Holy Scriptures. And the church has bought into this. And you're out there, you know, let's go fight the communists. Why not fight the Jews behind the communists? Why not take your cue from the Holy Scriptures? That's what I'm saying. We claim to be a people of the book. We claim to follow Jesus Christ. We claim that the Bible is the Word of God. Yet there's vast sections of it that we don't want anything to do with because they're racist and sexist and anti-Semitic. Until we address that, there's no hope for the church. There's no hope for the church. You know, it makes me wonder, makes me understand a little bit more why Jesus said, you know, what shall I find faith on the earth when I return? But I guarantee you, you go down this track and you say what the scriptures say, you'll get a rise out of Satan. You'll get a rise out of Satan and his people and his church and his children. And then you'll have a book of Acts experience. Then you'll have a New Testament church where the Jews will be persecuting you. And then you're going to have your goal, a New Testament church. But if all you can do, charismatic Pentecostal preacher, is grovel before the Jews and be a false prophet and tell your congregation that they're God's chosen, that the Jews, the people that call themselves Jews, who are not Jews, but are of the synagogue of Satan, are in fact God's chosen people. He might have some explaining to do on the judgment day. It's all there, but we're fighting the wrong enemy. We're shadow boxing. We're fighting this, we're fighting that. And if you would stand back and take a holistic look at the Holy Scriptures from Genesis through the Revelation and just say to yourself, oh my God, it's all right here. We have bought into the idea that we live in a quote-unquote religious world where it's just a minor subset of the reality of our existence. And we play patty cakes out in our little churches pretending to do, I don't know what we pretend. And we've already surrendered in our own hearts and in our own minds that the world belongs to the Almighty God and our job is to bring discipline to the nations. That the enemy is exactly who is described in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Revelation, 1st, 2nd John, Thessalonians. Because it's hard. Then you're going to have to fight. Then you're going to get persecuted. Then people are going to hate you. They're going to call you all kinds of dirty names. They're going to call you inspired by the devil. You want a New Testament church? It's there, man. It's waiting for you. But you're going to have to be brave. Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com.